What's your dream for customer experience for Engrow customers?
We want to be an international benchmark for the B2B player on Net Promoter Score.
Hello, I'm Adam Durrell, and I'm the host of the Account Experience Podcast. This week, we're focusing on excellence in B2B account experience programs. And the company that we're going to talk to today has won awards from Customer Gauge for its customer engagement, and it's been recognized multiple years in a row. So, hey, they must be doing something good. There's a lot of good lessons in here for every listener. If you're a regular on the Account Experience Podcast, you'll know that in every episode, I like to catch up with inspiring industry leaders or thinkers to share their best practices and tips that help you develop your own B2B account experience program. We bring together on this podcast the enterprise client management and the customer experience. Together, that's what we call account experience, which is what we call the podcast, the Account Experience Podcast. I'm also a father of four. I'm a founder, and I'm fantastically interested in humans, and I love anything that furthers the quality of business relationships. Today, I'm talking with Mohammed Idris. He is the Chief Commercial Officer at Engrow Polymer and Chemicals, which is a subsidiary of the enormous Engrow Corporation, one of Pakistan's largest and most diversified conglomerates. And they've built a very special account experience program, which is some of the highest levels of customer engagement and pretty good net promoter, if I can say that, that I have seen in at least 15 years. And we're going to get behind the details of that program. And I'm really delighted today to welcome Mohammed. Hello, Mohammed. Thank you for joining the Account Experience Podcast. How are you?
Hello, Adam. Thanks for this wonderful introduction and thanks for having me in your program. And I'm doing absolutely fine, and I'm loving to be part of your program.
Well, thank you so much. First of all, I just want to say congratulations on winning the Customer Gauge Account Experience Awards for high engagement. We'll get into that a bit later on. But first of all, for people who are not familiar with Engrow, because it's a name pretty much behind the scenes for many people, why don't you tell us a little bit about what the company does and how your role is within that organization?
All right. Thank you once again, Adam. Engrow, as the name says, it's the energy for growth. And again, it's enabling growth. So if I take you to the roots of the organization, we used to be Exxon United States, started operation in Pakistan in 1967. And then till 1991, we were part of Exxon. And then when Exxon decided to divest from the fertilizer business internationally, so employees of Engrow, you know, they took the company to a management-led buyout. And then this was in 2003, this was acquired by, you know, Dow's Corporation, which is a family-owned business for more than 100 years. Engrow Polymer is a subsidiary of Engrow Corporation. And Engrow Polymer is 25 years old. And our main business is PVC manufacturing and selling PVC. And we sell it with the brand Subs. Subs is a name in Urdu, which means green. You understand, 25 years back, we thought of being green, and now it's more of a buzzword in the world. But we were very clear with our, you know, branding practices. And on top of it, you know, we sell hydrogen. We produce and sell hydrogen and chloralkali, which is caustic soda, hydrogen peroxide, that's in the pipeline. So that's what our business is. And we want to take this business to a global level, not only increasing the share in Pakistan as per the global practices, but also to take a major share in the international export market, both for the PVC resin and PVC downstream value-added branded products from Pakistan.
For those people who are not familiar with PVC, I mean, I think of things like PVC piping, which helps get fresh water to people. That's one example, I guess. What else is PVC in our everyday lives?
Well, yeah, that's a great question. And I come across these, you know, questions every now and then. When you talk about PVC, people always think about those white color pipes of PVC and that's it. But, you know, I tell you, PVC is everywhere, you know. And just to tell you about the composition, it's 57% of PVC is the salt that we eat every day. It's sodium chloride. So that's where chlorine part comes. and then rest is ethylene, which is 43%. PVC, right from your ATM card, your credit cards and debit card, you have them in your pocket, that's made out of PVC. You go to the hospital, you have those oxygen masks, and then you have those, you know, drip bags, and they're tubing all the way getting into your vein. It's all PVC. So a lot of people don't know about that. But on top of it, now PVC is having those supreme composite materials, whereby you have wood PVC composite material, which has the look and feel of wood, but it has got the supreme properties of PVC, that is termite proof, rust proof, waterproof, fire retardant. So now PVC is, you know, coming as an interior material for flooring, for roofing, for all your windows. Windows in Europe is all made out of PVC, those white color windows, and yes, then a lot of other materials in hospitality industry as well. Yeah.
Well, thanks for giving us a look into the wonderful world of PVC. I mean, it's, you know, even as they said in the Graduate film in the 1960s, the future is plastics, Benjamin. So I guess that's, you know, this has been with us for some time. Most people are not consuming the PVC material directly from you, from Engro. So who are some of the clients, or can you characterize your customers that are downstream of you?
Yeah, right. So if you look at the Pakistani market, we are the only PVC resin manufacturer in Pakistan. We have a market of roughly 250,000 tons. And the per capita consumption of PVC is roughly 1.2 kg per capita versus the global standards of 6.5 kg per capita. So there is a huge margin to grow the share of PVC application. So our direct customers, because we are into B2B sales, so our direct customers are the PVC downstream product manufacturers, like PVC pipe manufacturers. So they are the ones who are our direct customers. Then the cable manufacturers, if you look at the cable industry, the insulation is made out of PVC. So every cable has the PVC. So the cable manufacturers, so one of the big players. Then a lot of packaging comes from PVC, then the flexible hose. Then there are the window manufacturers, door manufacturers, flooring manufacturers. So all these manufacturers are primarily our direct customers. And then they have their own downstream customers, distributors, wholesalers, retailers, and then the end consumers.
So these are big customers you're dealing with. And I imagine that you need a whole team of people on your side to deal with a contract like this, and probably it needs a team of people from your customers to also interact with Engro. So this is typically what we see in, you know, an account experience. So can you give us some detail about what an account team would look like and who is on both sides of the customer-supplier relationship?
That's right. So we've got a team of roughly 30 people, which is spread across Pakistan. If you look at our customer, so we have a customer which is giving us a revenue of, let's say, $0.1 million per annum, up to the customers who give us the revenues of $50 million per annum. So there are like 700 different customers, from small to big customers. The first thing that is there is that ingrained into our DNA that our salary comes from the customer. Customer is the guy who is paying our salary. So once you have that thinking ingrained and you sort of believe that, your actions and your, you know, are pretty much aligned with the customer engagement, because then it's basically your effort is to make the customer successful. And once your customer is successful, you're automatically, you know, following the footsteps of success. So 35 people, we've divided Pakistan into three regions, north and then center and the south region. And that's where our regional sales managers are located. However, we also have a very strong engagement of the top management team with our customers, because some of our customers are even as big as we, you know, ourselves are. So they're having more revenues versus us. So they are big. And our interaction is directly with the sponsors and owners of those customers. So we have to have a very positive relationship and repetitive engagement at all levels in the organization. So that's one part. The other part also, which is important, Adam, is that when we are dealing with these direct customers, we are actually a little far from where the end consumer is.
Yeah.
But as an organization, as the only PVC resin manufacturer, we need to have our eye and pulse of what the end consumer is thinking. So some of the people we have in our team are the ones who get that pulse from the market, that what is happening in the retail, how the end consumers are thinking about it. And that's why we've also opened up an outlet to get that B2C kind of a feature where we directly interact with the end consumer, just to have that pulse from the end consumer to look at the behaviors and the patterns which are going on.
Now, that's a really interesting sort of feedback loop you've got. Let's take one step back and talk about the culture of the organization. It seems that sort of the experience of the customer is very important in your work. Where does that come from? Where is that tone set in the Engro business?
Primarily, you know, if you look at Engro Corporation, so it started with the fertilizer business, whereby you are actually selling fertilizer to the farmers. And the DNA of the organization, because it used to be Exxon those days, used to be that right amount of fertilizer and right kind of fertilizer for the right application. So at times, you would educate the farmer, which would result in maybe less offtake of your product, but at least you would use fertilizer in the right proportion to increase the crop yield. And that was the kind of DNA that we have inherited. And that is something that we've taken forward as well. So as I've told you, when Engro Polymer started, even in our salary slip, it used to be written that this salary is coming from the customer. So you should be pretty much aligned. And that's what, you know, the DNA. So the entire culture is that right from the chief executive officer, who is Jahangir Paracha, JP at this point in time, he goes and interacts with the customers. We have our calendar filled with the interactions with the customers. We also look at the international, you know, conferences or exhibitions like K-Fair in Dusseldorf, Germany, where we take some of our visionary customers to, so that they get an idea of where the technology is going towards, so that they bring in that technology and bring in the efficiency and productivity in their own businesses. So it's very much customer-centric organization with a great sort of spirit to engage with the customer for their benefit and to make them successful for the success of the entire country.
That's a beautiful story. I love the way it's rooted in agriculture and a sort of responsible way of making sure that you keep your customers for a long time if you help them have the right amount of fertilizer. I guess that's a really lovely explanation of how the culture works in your organization.
This podcast is sponsored by Customer Gauge, and they're the experienced leader in the CPG market. And let me tell you why. They're contacting more people in the independent trade and modern trade than any other customer experience company out there. And you'll know the brands that they work with. We're talking Coca-Cola, AB InBev, Heineken, Just Eat Takeaway. They're literally pulsing millions of contacts around the world in more than 60 countries, multiple times a year, delivering those insights to thousands and thousands of frontline employees in those companies. But you know, it's not just the CPG business Customer Gauge is famous for. They're ranked number one for B2B customer experience by Gartner. However, if you're in the CPG business and you have not contacted Customer Gauge to understand what is going on in your business, you're seriously missing out, because we know there are other people out there just doing it once a year. Well, Customer Gauge gives you customer insights 52 weeks a year, right to the front line in real time. It's going to absolutely transform your business like nothing else. But don't take our word for it. Listen to the podcast and they'll tell you exactly why.
Let's dig a little bit deeper. Let's go into the experience program that you've got running. So the decision was taken, as I understand, to start, you know, really formally listening to the customer base, and now you're pulsing them on a regular basis. Tell us a little bit about how you see that program. What are your goals of that program?
Well, that's another thing which we looked at. Obviously, when we started using Customer Gauge Survey for the NPS score, it's the and it's been a couple of years. It provided us a methodical sort of platform to seek the feedback from the customer. And customers are also, you know, of the view that this is one of the most effective and meaningful way of giving you the feedback. Now, one is obviously having those lot of interactions with the customer, but another important thing that starts with that is taking account of what was the feedback of the customers and how do you close that loop, how quickly you close that loop. So, for example, some of our customers, you know, obviously we are in a commodity business. Our prices are pegged to the international prices as well as the local currency versus dollar exchange rate. So that's how we do our pricing. So there used to be a point that when you communicate us the price change, it gets communicated to our customers and their customers even before we take an action. So that was the feedback which came from them. And that also discussed was when the chief executive, CEO of Anglo Polymer was also present in one of the meetings. And that was the feedback from the customer, and which was right. So we said we use this CRM, Salesforce, which is only accessible to the customers and very few people within the customer's office. So we moved it out of the email thing and we moved that communication. And that now that communication is done through Salesforce. And obviously, towards the end of the day, it comes out, somebody puts it out, and it gets known to the downstream market. But at least our main clients get a time to strategize and take appropriate action. So that was a feedback which was acted upon, and then customer really appreciated. So then there are things that you can do something about it. Then there are things that you can only listen. And then you find out that you might not be able to do a lot of things, you know, might not be able to do something about it. But at least you communicated to the customer that I've got your feedback. I've worked over it. These are the limitations at this point in time. And that is the end point. So at least they have this feeling that they are being heard and they are being taken seriously. And then, you know, somebody closed the loop.
Yes, I think that is so important in the programs that I see with customers. Those are the ones that are successful because even if you can't do anything, as you say, Mohammed, it's about understanding what the customer says and then just having that loop. Maybe you cannot do anything about that, but there are other things that you can uncover on that. I think that's such a wonderful way of doing it. Let's dive a little bit deeper into the program, if that's all right. Now, your program is very closely aligned with your commercial structure. It comes under you, doesn't it, as Chief Commercial Officer. So how do you see this relating to the commercial side of your business? Does it help you with revenue directly, or are there indirect impacts that it has? Tell us about the value of the program as you see it.
All right. So if you look at my journey at Engro, so I've spent like 20 years at Engro in different subsidiaries, from Engro Fertilizer to the operations to the HR and business development, and then coming into the commercial part. So being part of the HR, I figured out when we used to go for the employee engagement surveys or employee experience surveys, if you get a high response rate, that would mean that you are dealing with an engaged employee workforce. So if you similarly for a customer gauge survey, if you're getting a high account response rate, that actually means that you're dealing with the customers who are pretty much engaged with you in a positive manner. So that is really important. So on the mechanics side of it, obviously our key accounts team and then our commercial excellence team with our digitalization gurus and, you know, social media team, they all work together and, you know, send these surveys to our customers and then get their feedback and then they work on the loop closure and all those things. So that's how the mechanics part is working. If you look at the overall, I mean, it's been more than a year that I've been part of this, and it's been almost 2 years that we are on NPS. One part is that you get a methodical way of getting the feedback. Once you work over it, your relationship actually improves with the customer. And that builds, that brings in a lot of trust by the customer over you. So now, once they start trusting you, that is always beneficial for the business. If I share the stats with you, so proud to share with you that this is the second consecutive year that we have won this highest account response award. Yeah,
this is the award. Listen, this is a copy of the one you've got. I know you've got one there. Yeah. So congratulations, by the way.
Thank you very much. So over the last 1 year, if you look at the stats, so there was an increase of 8% of the loop closure rate that we were having in the last year. That actually resulted into 16% of increase in NPS, and the net promoter score. We increased from 68% to 84% at this point in time. If you look at the top line of the organization, there was 17% growth in the top line of the organization. Now, we feel that our customer engagement has a very pivotal role to play in this growth. Yes, there are other factors as well. There are some tailwinds that we've gotten. But the relationship and the customer, the strength of the customer engagement and the relationship actually helped us to bring this growth in the top line of the organization.
Those are incredible stats. Let me just check I've got those, because that's so significant that you're saying that. I believe you said 8% increase in net promoter over the 2 years, 8% response rate increase. Is that right?
8% increase in the loop closure rate.
That's right.
So whatever feedback you were getting, we started working on that and we closed loop by 8% incremental on a year-on-year basis. That actually helped. If you look at our NPS score, there was 16% increase in the net promoter score. And if you look at the top line, there was 17% growth in the top line of the organization.
That's fantastic. These
are the three numbers that I've quoted. Yeah.
Thanks for correcting me on that. But by the way, I'm always impressed with somebody that knows their metrics. Top marks to you, Mohammed. This is super important because, as you said before, you know, to some extent, you're selling a commodity product. It's a PVC product. How you're differentiating yourself is through the experience. And that is what you put your finger on. And that is, by pushing that one, helps you really grow the business. That's as I understand it. Let me also qualify a couple of these things, because it's important for people to know on here that the response rate in your business, account response rate, and even contact response rate is above 90%. And that is incredible. We do not have many other companies out there at that level. And sometimes you're almost getting close to the 100% mark. And for me, I think this is, well, first of all, I just want to say a fantastic congratulations on this, on your program. It is world-class. And I love the way that you're targeting your staff on really pushing for the best engagement rate. And I think that's really something to be proud of. So can you share a couple of tips about how you get your organization to deliver such a fantastic customer engagement?
Yeah, I think that's a very important thing. And as I assumed my office more than a year back, one of the things which is very important is the belief. So you got to believe that if you want to be successful, you will have to work on your customer success, because their success is your success. So that's number one thing, because what we really believe, that the customers are the only reason that we exist. And I would go even further. This is not, just for the word's sake, you got to believe it. That you have to have that positive thinking and positive feeling about your customers in a very genuine and in the most sincere way. So once you have it, I tell you, Adam, you start emitting those vibes whenever you go and meet your customers. You know, they can feel that vibe, that from your body language, that this is the guy who has come, who thinks, walks, and acts to make me successful more than his own success. So when you start emitting those vibes to the customer, I can tell you, you build that kind of a relationship with your customer. Yeah. When you're able to get their blind trust and you're able to move them, you're able to persuade them, everything starts from the belief. And then as Rhonda Byrne says in The Secret, that law of attraction works. So if you're thinking positive, if you're feeling positive, the entire universe gets on your back to make you successful in your pursuits and in your ambition.
I love hearing that. You are such an inspirational person. I bet the team is really an admirer of what you do. I what an exciting company to be a customer of, I think. It must be really good for the spirit to come through. Now, I just want to make sure that we acknowledge the great people in your team who make this happen. So now's your opportunity to give some kudos to your team that make this happen.
That's right. There are three major departments. One is the PVC business team, which manages the account of the PVC business in the entire Pakistan, which is headed by a general manager. Khurram Hussain is his name, who's heading. And they are the ones who are doing the interaction with the customers of PVC. And then we have our chloralkali business, which is headed by the business head of chloralkali, which includes caustic soda, hydrogen, and that is headed by Imran Baloch and his team. So they are also, you know, instrumental in their interaction with their customers in the textile business. And then I have got the GM for the market development, who make sure that the increase in size of the pie for PVC per capita consumption goes high. And they are the ones who go to the customers as well to help them with their technical problems on a day-to-day basis with their technical services team. And they've got their digital media marketing team with them who glorify the products of our customers. So they are the champions. And the best thing is, you know, the coherence of the entire team, because Anglo-Polymer Commercial is a place where teamwork meets excellence. So we make sure that there should not be the individual excellence or islands of excellence, but we all work together to make the entire organization successful. And in addition to that, I think special appreciation for our commercial excellence team, which is part of the market development team. The commercial excellence team, which is headed by Hina Ashdar, she's been instrumental in making sure that we stay on the right track. You know, she would we'd come back, she would do the follow-up, he would make sure that we are doing our things and taking care of the sequence and the steps in the process.
I know those team members are going to be so proud that you recognize them. That's part of the job of a leader as well. Well done. Now, before we leave you, Mohammed, what about a glimpse into the future? How is Engro going to navigate forward? Can you share a few secrets or a little bit of glimpse into the way that the company's going?
Yeah, that's right. So as part of Engro, we've always been working on some of the most pressing issues of our time. What we feel is that the country that we work in, our growth is directly linked to the success within the country. So for us, the country becomes successful, we are automatically successful. So the goal is to expand our business and also expand our international exports portfolio, not only on the commodity side, but also on the value-added downstream, you know, branded products coming out of PVC and other materials. So that is very important. And that's how we are looking at the opportunities on a global level as well for Anglo-Polymer.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Mohammed. I really appreciate the time you spent with us today and giving us a glimpse into your program. And as I said, that it must be great to be a customer of Engro. You take a lot of care of the customer experience, and thank you for sharing the details with us today. I wish you and your team the best of success, and let's hope you can make it 3 years in a row to win the Customer Engagement Award.
Thank you very much, and we really look forward to doing that. And, you know, our North Star is that we become a world-class benchmark for the B2B Net Promoter Score and also get a significant accolade in B2C segment of, you know, sales and marketing in terms of the international recognition as well.
I'm certain you will, and I look forward to following that story. Mohammed Idris, Engro, thank you so much for being with us today. I hope to see you soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Adam. Thanks for having me.